party of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Dr. Drew, still on vacation, but that's fine because Dr. Marcel was an old roommate of Dr. Drew's in college, is a plastic surgeon, and that's the direction we should steer the show tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Marcel, good to see you as usual.
Good to see you again, Adam.
Marcel will answer, and plastic surgery's never been bigger, has it?
No, it's pretty popular right now.
His plastic surgery, and so tonight, if you have any questions, and, you know, whatever medical questions you got, Marcel can answer. But his specialty is plastic surgery. Has it just been a steady rise in plastic surgery since, you know, the 1950s to now? Or has it turned up a notch over the last couple of years?
It's been a steady rise since probably the 60s, but it's the last 4 years that it's really accelerated.
Is it because of these TV shows?
A lot,
is it people, like, you know, I think that in the past nobody, let's say women under, well, okay, first off, men didn't really consider plastic surgery. Now
right.
They're candidates for it. Women under 40 didn't consider plastic surgery. Now they're all stepping in to have something done. So, I mean, it seems like the pool has gotten much deeper and much broader.
Well, I mean, it started off, plastic surgery was reserved for celebrities and wealthy people, and now it's become accepted in at every level of society.
Has the price come down? I mean, relative to what a nose job or a tuck was or a lift was, you know, 20 years ago?
Well, probably in relative terms, in some demographic areas it is, because it's competitive.
Right.
And so certainly in the Beverly Hills type of areas, you can still command a premium. But in other parts of the country, you have to be a little sensitive to market pressure, so to speak.
What is the most popular stuff you're doing now?
I do a lot of breasts.
Yeah. Yeah, always going up, right?
Yeah, well, no, sometimes
Occasional reduction,
and certainly I still rebuild them after cancer.
Is well, come on, let's not kill them.
All right, we'll go back with the big ones then.
All right, so and what about everyone? Saline, is that the standard now? Or are they going back?
You know, we're seeing a lot more people asking about silicone because we're the last country all over Europe now, South America. You can get silicone again.
Oh, really?
And here in the United States, it's restricted still.
Mm-hmm.
But you do one gal with silicone, and she shows her friends, and they compare it to their friends that have saline, and they all come in saying, I don't want saline.
Yeah, Dr. Marcel brought in a bare saline sack and a bare silicone sack, and I felt them in each hand. And the silicone one I didn't want to give back.
Yeah, no,
it's a better feeling. It really feels better than an actual breast does. Truth be told.
It does feel nice. It does feel nice.
And did they change them, or did they just decide this was just much ado about nothing, the whole scare of 10 years ago?
Well, the implants that are available right now are called third-generation implants, and they're the shell's a little thicker, the gel's a little thicker, so they seem to be a better design product.
Mm-hmm.
And then science, every study done since 10 years ago hasn't shown any ill effects from silicone. I mean, it's still an operation and stuff can happen, but
right.
We haven't found any ticking health time bombs with silicone like people thought.
I had, speaking of operations, maybe a little out of it today, because I finally had this surgery yesterday to get my head to stop sweating so much.
Really?
I don't even know what it's called. Not that many guys do it. But my head was just, anyone who knows me knows I have just a head that's like a bar rag. And you know, if I work out, I have to, you know, my eyes sting, I have to keep mopping my brow and stuff. I found out there was this surgery out there that'll nip the whatever. Now, they'll do it.
It's a sympathectomy, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
They do it for your hands, and
right,
they'll do
right,
it for
right.
your underarms.
Right.
But
I didn't know they did it for your head.
Well, not many guys do, and it's not exactly as commonplace as a lot of the other ones go. But it seemed to have worked out. I mean,
well, it's only been one day.
Well, I mean, I did the surgery yesterday,
okay,
like yesterday morning, And I woke up this morning at 5:45 for some reason, raring to go. That's like too much.
With a dry head.
A dry head and a heart that ached to rock and roll. And I went to my house and I hung two doors at like 7 in the morning with this weird sort of surge of energy. But I was just thinking, the reason I was thinking about it is they do that thing. First off, they always need the underpants. And as you know, here's the deal. Here's how surgery works. Two beats. We need your underpants, or we're going to be knocking you out.
That's right.
That's how it works. And I've had my hand operated on where they needed the underpants. We have to have the underpants. And I'm like, I don't like dozing off in a room full of people minus the underpants. But if you can give me a good reason why, and by the way, when they work on you, when they work on your hands especially, they spread you out like Christ on the cross. Right. They take a 6-foot board that a sub sandwich comes on and they strap you down to it. How much further could you get from the nads?
Yeah.
Really? The midways? That's going to throw everyone's game off? What about you people? Don't you want me to have my underpants on? What if something tragic happens? But so here's the thing. So it's always the, we're going to need the underpants. And they're like, they have their reasons. And here's my thing. They have their reasons. I have my reasons. How about you just put a little addendum at the bottom of the thing? Like, look, if you want to keep your underpants, your balls could catch on fire. There could be a static electricity could search your body and hook up with the nylon in your underpants, and your balls could catch on fire. So if you want to keep your underpants, just sign this. I would take my chances.
I don't blame you.
And now here's the other part, too. So they give you the gown. They give you the gown, and the gown ties
the opening in the back.
In the back, and it's... I put the thing on, you take the underpants off, you get all stripped down, you pull this thing on sort of forward like a smock, and then you start the tying process. And tying a bow behind your back is sort of like when you're trying to cut your hair looking in the mirror. Your hand's going a different direction than you think it's moving. Mm-hmm. It's weird, and then you're trying to go, and your ass is hanging out all over the place, and there's tons of Asian nurses, and you're just sort of walking around with your hairy ass hanging out. And I went out, and I just said, look, There's certain things we never stop working on in this society. I mean, certain inventions, everything, it's a constant, take the automobile tire. Think what the automobile tire was like 75 years ago. 10 plies, falling apart, it couldn't go faster than 50 miles. We keep refining, we keep moving. The hospital gown, no one's touched it in 100 years.
Nope.
Is there any difference between the hospital gown that I wore yesterday and the one my great-grandfather wore getting
up
the musket ball pulled out of him in the Civil War? Let's do this one just a little bit. I mean, let's focus on this. This is what I'm saying. It's like there's certain things somebody, and they didn't appreciate this jag, by the way, while I was standing with my ass hanging out in front of all the Asian nurses. Really, really had no idea what I was saying. It was just some rantings of a madman. But I was saying, look. I don't know who signed off on this, but we're not done. This is a work in progress, this hospital gown. Somebody knocked off on it about 100 years ago. Let's evolve it. Let's do something. How about a piece of Velcro? How about something? Really? Give me your underpants, and we're just going to hang a couple pieces of yarn in the back, and you can be all drugged up and effed up. And then inevitably, you get when I had my hand surgery, I had this big club of a cast on there, and you're drugged up. And what about the poor nurses, too? You're climbing into the bed. The thing's getting caught up on your nuts are hanging all over the place. Your legs are akimbo. Do they really need to see that much, like, crack and ass?
Probably not. No.
So, A, how about some hospital underpants? Now, I mean, you're doing the hernia surgery. Fine, take the underpants. You're working on the hand.
Yeah, we give you some little, photo panties or something.
Yeah, what's the problem with the underpants?
I think it's a throwback to, when we do surgery in my office, if we're not going anywhere near the groin area for lipo or anything, we leave their underpants on.
For you, too. I mean, what do you want,
I don't need to go there. They're hot,
but like I said, there's that whole thing where they sort of get you into the bed, and the bed has the sides on it, and the sheets are always caught up a little, and you're drugged up, and you're wearing this thing that feels like someone took a toga, put it on you, and then pulled it like
around
70 degrees one way. You're feeling kind of pent up, you're feeling weird, it's already uncomfortable, now the sack is everywhere, and I just thought, look, the ritual part of life. Like, look, we need the underpants. Why? Because
that's
somebody
the way
decided
we've done it. That's right.
90 years ago we needed the underpants,
and
now you'll be giving us the underpants. And we could get sued. And, oh, my God, the paperwork.
I mean,
Jesus Christ, it was endless. Triplicate, initial and sign, initial and sign. It's like they really could have put me under and then just taken a table leg and beaten me to death, and there's nothing anyone could have done about it legally after I was rendered a vegetable.
There's a lot of fine print that you're signing
out
on.
Oh, my God. Let's do something with that hospital gown, Marcel. Invent a better hospital gown. Get
some
Velcro involved with it. Put a back on it. Ass hanging out. What ends up happening is you end up taking the thing and pulling it off to one side and trying to tie it on one side.
And they wind up taking it off you as soon as you're under anyway.
As soon as you get into the bed, off goes the thing, and out come the nads. All I'm saying is just a shred of dignity. You know, just the idea of falling asleep with the underpants on. It's just a much more comforting.
And, you know, the first thing that you probably did when you woke up.
Went right for the junk.
You grabbed right for it to make sure it was still there.
That's what I do. That's right.
Every guy does.
And unfortunately, I think they got part of it. It just didn't seem like there was that much. Anesthesia, by the way, the general anesthesia, worse than cold water on the Johnson.
Yeah.
I did. I popped out of bed and went, holy Christ, what happened? What'd they do? The penis is not like the general anesthesia.
No, there's one, though, propofol, if they give you. It's a soy extract. It makes you very amorous.
Going to have to go for that next. All right. Is there a white nurse in this country, by the way? I'm not saying that the ones we have are bad, but you're focusing, and especially when you're drugged up on the English. Are you okay? You'll come back now. And you're like,
The number one export of the Philippines is nurses.
Yes, they're all Filipino. It's like I had some kind of flashback. Like, I woke up. Like, if you know what you should do? Put some bamboo around the thing, and you just wake up, Mao! You'd be like, you'd be back in Nam. Be like the deer hunter. All right. They're very caring people. Lindsay?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you?
Doing good. Hey, Marcel, you want to see my thing? Did a thing
looks
there?
Nice.
Did a thing there. Yeah, they poked a probe through there. Oh, let me say this too, because I got this procedure done yesterday. We don't need the internal pictures. You know, your doctors are very hip. This is what your gut looked like, and then now you can see where it's been cauterized. There, it looked like we put a cigarette butt out on one of those. It's like,
The dentist sticking the camera in your mouth to show you how rotten your teeth are.
See what you got here? Okay. Just do your thing, would you?
Yeah.
I trust you. Lindsay?
Yeah.
You're 17. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Oh, I was just wondering how long you can take the morning after pill before it's ineffective.
It's supposed to be 72 hours. And it gets less effective as the time wears on. I mean, I guess from 24 to 72, it gets less effective.
Oh.
So they say. Why? When did you have your unprotected encounter?
Like 4 days ago.
I may have had one yesterday. I'm not sure. I was so far gone. 4 days ago, so that's more than 72 hours.
Yeah.
So you should have called us on Friday.
I know. I messed up.
Yeah, except we're not on Fridays. We're on Thursdays. All right. So what happened? You didn't use a condom?
No, I did, and, I'm on birth control, but, I don't know, I kind of messed up last week and didn't really do as well on it, I guess. And then I took a pregnancy test today, and it came positive.
Oh, came out positive?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, then you're probably pregnant.
Probably.
But wait a minute, would it show after 4 days? I thought you had to wait 2 weeks.
For the early pregnancy test, no.
Oh, you took one of the, DNA ones or the 24-hour ones?
No, some of the
something?
Urine ones are real, real sensitive, real early.
Oh, really? I always just thought after you had your encounter, you had to wait like 2 weeks or 10 days to take your test. So they got newer ones
pretty,
now.
Pretty soon after.
No.
We had to cancel a surgery last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Because someone was...
Her urine pregnancy test the day of surgery came up, and she's like, oh, I thought my depo was still working.
And what, were we doing a boob job?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now she's really going to get pregnant. Lindsay?
Yeah.
All right. The phones keep cutting out. All right. You're probably pregnant then.
That's great.
All right, fantastic. All right, let's... penis is too sensitive. Does a penis have to be a certain length to get a girl pregnant? Screwing a guy. Pierce penis.
Oh, a lot of penis calls here.
Yeah, they all seem to have the word penis in them. Heidi?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question. I've been dating this guy for a couple months now, and we've had sex probably like 3 or 4 times, and we do use protected sex, but I don't feel that the pierced penis is pleasurable. It actually hurts really bad.
Wow.
Each time we have sex.
It would have been better if you'd worked painful in there, because you're really on a alliteration roll with the pierced penis.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Yeah, pleasurable. And if you said it was painful, it would have sort of completed the I don't know what you'd call it, the triforta. All right, go ahead, Heidi. I'm sorry.
Okay, anyways, I have a question. Can piercings cause any, like, irritation or any, like, disorders up there in the cervix or anything like that?
Well, let's just say I was finger blasting you with a Super Bowl ring on my index finger. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you could do the math.
I mean, does he have jagged edges on it or what?
Yeah, it's like this hoop thing, and it goes through the tip of the penis.
So it's like a Prince Albert.
Yeah, it's a Prince Albert, but, you know, I don't find it pleasurable at all, and I hear that, you know, that it was supposed to be a pleasure, and I found out that it's the different thing, and each time that me and my boyfriend would have sex, I would be, like, in excruciating pelvic pain for day or so.
Tell him to take it out, then.
Okay.
I mean, I know, like, everyone seems like, I can't take this dumbbell out of my dork. The hole will heal up. And I'm like, that good, you idiot. It's one less hole you have in your penis.
Yeah, and exactly. Now when he comes over, I won't give him sex. And he's just like, why? And I'm just
good.
It hurts me, so I can't do it no more. So.
All right. What's wrong with him, by the way? I don't trust a guy. And this is not some generational thing or like Pop's Corolla. Just he's not in touch with the kids. You getting a spear put through your penis means there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you need to be institutionalized. It just means there's a range from a little effed up to colossally effed up.
Yeah.
But the idea that you think this would be a good idea, minus any anesthetic, by the way, I spend the better part of every day keeping sharp things away from my groin. Hence, I didn't want to give up the underpants yesterday. I was telling Dr. Bruce that I will actually pack my junk in bubble wrap before I leave the house and then put a small FedEx box over it with the styrofoam peanuts in it and then just use a bungee cord to strap it around just so nothing sharp gets to it. And when these guys get their penises pierced, they don't even ice them down or anything. So to me, that's effed up. And the whole pleasurable part of it is just sort of a facade or smokescreen that you hide behind because you're effed up. And when you're effed up, all your energy goes right to your junk. That's how it goes. I mean, like when kids, you know, when the 5-year-old little Tommy sees mommy and daddy going at it, hand goes right down the pants. You know, when someone is colossally effed up, and I think Dr. Alter's going to come in here tomorrow and talk about gender reassignment, you want your junk switched out. I mean, the more effed up you are, the more focus you have on your genitalia. Do you know what the answer to that is? I mean,
no.
It's not the elbows people seem to focus on. It goes right to the tool.
Well, you know, guys identify with that.
Yeah.
It's their personality.
You could have used it takes all kinds, and that would have been acceptable.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just letting you have that.
Yeah.
If you ever get stuck, by the way, you go...
Just go, it takes all kinds.
You go, it takes all kinds, or you should... or if someone contradicts you and they're right, you say, yeah, but still.
Does Drew got this all polished
up? No, Drew does none of this because he doesn't really pay attention during the show. But I'm just saying, like, if you go... If you ever make one of these statements where you go, you know, if the Dodgers could get some pitching, they could really make a run at the West this year, and somebody goes, their team averages the best ERA in sports, you go,
but still,
you're done.
Okay.
It's time to move on.
Yeah,
nothing we could
do.
Work
for me.
You can't argue with yeah, but still, it's just it ends the argument. And it's a tie, even though you lost. You see what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Okay. Just saying that, and it takes all kinds, and you don't really have to answer
it does
to anybody. All right, let's talk. So tell him to take the hoop out, or he gets no more of the nookie. And let's talk to Stephanie, who's 19. Stephanie?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Okay, like every relationship I have, I can't seem to make it last longer than like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, for like the first week or two, the guy will like love me. Like, he'll be like almost obsessed with me, it seems. But then, like, after that, he like won't talk to me at all, and I don't get any explanation or anything. And I have no idea why.
Well, are you having sex with these guys?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
So what do you do? Are you guys calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend, or are you just going out on dates?
Just dating, and they'll call me a lot. They'll call me like 3 times a day, or sometimes more, and you know, and like they act like they like me a lot. You know, we'll just go on dates and stuff.
How far do you get with them physically?
Well, actually, I'm saving sex for marriage, so usually just making out and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And do you tell them you're saving sex for marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, these horrible phone lines. See, here's why it's an evil curse. We're the only two people on the planet who can't hear her answer, by the way, when she says or no. Yes, everyone around the country can hear her answer but us.
Oh, good.
Could you think of anything that's more effed up? Sorry, we didn't hear you, Stephanie. Do you tell them that you're saving sex for marriage?
Yes.
Yes, but still.
No, it's yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
Yes is a little too formal.
Okay.
And it takes all kinds. All right, Stephanie.
Yeah.
You're saving. See, it keeps cutting out when you give your answer. What did she say, Anderson?
Yes.
All right. Are you saving sex for marriage, and do you tell them this?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
I tell them.
All right. Well, that would be a deal breaker for a lot of guys.
Well, but, like, it's, like, part of my religion, and, like most of the guys I do date are, like, have the same beliefs as me, so they see they're saving it, too.
Uh-huh. What's your religion?
I'm Mormon.
Ah, okay. All right, so you're dating other guys that are saying, yeah, but... They're saving it because you're saving it. If you weren't saving it, they wouldn't save it. It's one of those things. I'm sure I could convince 95% of the Mormon guys to give it up if and they had a nice Mormon girl who was willing to bend the rules just a little bit. And I don't know, as a guy, I'm not sure... You know, I'm not sure what my angle would be on saving it. I would probably say, you know, I respect that, and then see what I could do for a couple of weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Really work on it a little bit. I'm not, I'm not saying roofies, but wine coolers. You know what I'm saying?
Candles, wine coolers.
See if we could get something going. Now, the best way is to pretend like you respect it and you don't want to do it either. Stephanie?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the deal. You're 19. You have a very specific religion, which sort of limits things a little bit. So all bets are off. But at 19, it's hard. Like, look, people call the show all the time and say 17, 18, 19, 20, and they go, every guy I date does this. Every time I do that, it does this. Every relationship turns out this way. You can't make that claim before 25.
Yeah, you're still figuring things out at 19.
That's right. Yeah. And...
Yes, but still?
No.
Yeah, but still.
It takes
all kinds. That was that one.
Yes, but still. it's way too formal. It's got to be more casual. Yeah, but still. Yeah. All right, so Stephanie, don't worry about it.
Okay.
There you go. Phone just cut out. And
right.
Find some nice LDS guy. spread the good news. And what do you guys got? What's different about being a Mormon? What do you guys got over there? I'm looking for a religion. I'm getting older now. I'm looking, you know. I was when I was put under yesterday. Nothing better
God.
Going under. No, I just saw my underpants missing. But I thought to myself, really, like they give you the big talk. Like they were saying to me, you're so calm. You're so calm. And I kept saying, if I go under and die in my sleep, I don't really care. You'll never know it.
Right.
I'm not going to. Here, I don't want to die in the dentist chair. Like, I get nervous when I'm going to be awake for procedures. If you tell me we're putting you under, then you put me under. And if I don't come back, I wouldn't even know it.
And you signed all that paperwork
anyway. I signed all the paperwork. Everything's cool. I got enough in the bank. The old lady will be fine. dad's, you know, renew the lease on the car I'm getting him or something. But I just thought to myself, you know, as an atheist, if I die and don't know I die, I'm not that worried about it. And yeah. I know there's a lot of ego wrapped up in this. What I don't want to do is, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want Shiite Muslims to take me captive and tell me we got till Friday before the prisoner release. Otherwise, Corolla's head's coming off. That I don't want to go that way. But if you just put me to sleep and never wake up,
yeah.
Carbon monoxide is a good way to go for that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for a way out. All right, Dr. Marcel is a board-certified plastic surgeon, maybe one of the best in the country. Maybe.
Well, thank you. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know any other ones, but he seems quite competent. Yes, but still. Dr. Drew is but still in Boston, and he's going to be back in a couple of days. We'll come back. We'll talk to you about see if we can line up some plastic surgery calls, because I'm sure people are going to want to capitalize on Marcel's expertise. So we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Boston with his wife.
Vacation?
When you're with Drew's wife, you can't call it a vacation.
Gotcha.
I don't know what you call it. I think you just call it travel. But I just couldn't call it a vacation. She is also, Drew's with the kids.
And,
I think his daughter is doing some ice skating thing. And let me say this, parents, about getting your kids into stuff. It could backfire on you. You want them to do stuff. You want them to ice skate. You want them to play the violin. You want them to piano. Next thing you know, there's a recital, and you got to go. Ugh. My parents were smart about this. They didn't get me into any of that nonsense. Because they knew, well, all right, so you do this, and the next thing you know, you're following her to Boston for the ice capades. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very slippery slope. You keep your kid in the closet. You raise them like veal, and that's fine. You let them fend for themselves. All right, so Marcel is here tonight. Marcel is not only Dr. Drew's ex-roommate at USC,
yep.
but a dear, dear, dear friend as well.
Fight on.
Also a great plastic surgeon. So if you have any questions pertaining to his field of expertise tonight, we'll take those because tonight is the night. And then I think later on this week, Dr. Alter is going to come in here. The ironically and yet unfortunately named Dr. Alter, who does, do you know this guy?
No.
He's a strange cat because he is one of the number one guys in genital
reconstruction, reassignment,
and all this other nonsense. And the number one argument, by the way, that these guys always make, which I always find bizarre, is they go, well, no, you understand there's a woman trapped inside a man's body. Like, we're going to go, oh, I didn't know he had penis vaginosis, like it's some sort of condition or something. Oh, there's a woman in there. Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, and you're just freeing her up. You're basically like an attorney getting a guy who was falsely accused off a death row. Is that the way you're looking at it? No,
well,
what you got is a nut job trapped inside a man's body. You don't have a woman trapped inside a man's body. And they're like, yeah, but here's what I always say to them. What if I said Napoleon was trapped inside of me? What are you going to do? You're going to get him out? You're gonna get out the scalpel and get him out of there?
And get out the medicine.
Or are we just going to do a little more therapy to perhaps talk to me? Or here's a better idea. What if I just said my left arm was possessed? Couldn't stop punching myself in the head. Would you cut it off because I wanted to get rid of it? Or does it just mean I'm effing nuts? They always have difficulty with those two questions. And by the way, we never really met anyone who had gender reassignment that, A, was happy when they were done with it, or a changed person. You know, they do this thing where it's like, well, I got a woman trapped inside, my body. So as soon as I, you know, get Geraldine out of Gerald, I'm going to be fine. And then they just become an effed up sort of tranny kind of guy whose parents hate them with sort of a vagina that looked like an M80 went off in it. You know what I mean?
You're not painting a pretty picture here.
Well, look, like, I got to be honest. We had a guy in here like Renee or he, she, or it's a she that went to a he. I get so confused after a while. Like, the guy, the guy was, you know, for 30 years trapped inside a woman's body or a man's. This was a man trapped inside a woman's body, which you don't hear that much. But for 30 years, the guy was that way. Miserable, of course, when you're trapped inside the wrong body. And then had the surgery. Engineer Chris, you ever seen a guy more miserable? No. Angry? Irritated? Yeah. So that's what you get. I thought the guy was going to punch me like 8 times. And I was scared, and then I kept thinking, wait a minute, that's a chick. I could beat her up. But it was a dude. But it was like a chick with some gristle. You know, but like a guy. I'm thinking like a pork link that spent too much time on the grill. You know, the one that ends up there at the end of the barbecue?
Right.
The one that falls between the grill, lands on the coals. I didn't look, but that's what I'm imagining.
You didn't look.
I didn't look because it was like, well, how'd the surgery go? It's a work in progress.
Nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
You can't make. How can you?
It's tough to make a good Audi out of an innie.
It really is.
Nobody's
it's a reverse,
hero
though.
For Jesus.
Here's his comment. Come on.
Nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
Yeah, and they always love Jesus too. Yeah. Very ironic. Jesus, huge fan of swapping the junk out, what I know of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm an atheist, but I do know one thing about Jesus. He loves the junk swapping. That's like his number one thing. If he was running for president, and I don't know why he would have to run, he would probably just come down and pronounce himself president. But if he was, that would be the number one plank in his platform. Junk swapping. I want all the he's to become she's and the she's to become he's. All right. So, anyway, Alter's coming in here. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. I can't quite remember. As fun as it is to bash him, he is board certified in plastic surgery and in urology, which
right.
is takes a little stunning to do, yes?
Yeah.
Vince?
Yes.
You're 24?
That's right.
What's up?
I had a question. I grew up like an overweight kid. And I basically lost all the weight, pretty much.
How much weight did you lose?
Maybe like 50 pounds.
That's something.
Yeah. How'd you do that?
I got a construction gig, summer gig, and I lost it all.
Really?
Yeah. Masonry work and stuff like that.
Yeah, just hauling them cinder blocks.
Yeah, I lost all that. But the problem is now... I got, like, excess slab. You know how, like, you see some guys from behind, you know, they're just straight. They don't got no love handles or anything like that. But
yeah.
They got, like, kind of like a belly. Like, you wouldn't tell that they were fat from behind, but as soon as they, you know, turn around. Yeah.
You got some extra skin.
But what I got is the love handles, you know, and I kind of got, like, the man boobs going on.
Yeah.
But like, when I wear a T-shirt, you know, it just looks like I got pecs and stuff, but, you know, it's really just...
All right, how much do you weigh now?
180, and I'm 5'11".
That's
about
but it's
right.
mostly like I could grab the skin and pull it, you know, like it's really flexible.
Well, there's surgeries to deal with this, but shouldn't this have taken care of itself in a 24-year-old guy who wasn't, you know, morbidly obese?
Well, if he was overweight even as a teen, sometimes you can get... You get something called gynecomastia, a little excess breast development.
Nice.
And then even weight loss is not going to affect that.
So. Right. Yeah, so that's, you know, Drew always says it's because they smoke pot. And I'm like, would you shut up?
No, not always.
No, not
Some
even
of them.
Ever. Well,
no.
Look, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And if you're not going to get it, look, I know guys who smoke tons of weed and they never had this problem. And then there are guys who have that problem. It's never connected to the weed. He's just trying to scare the kids. So if you got the gynecomastia... That's a surgical procedure, right?
Yeah, it usually is.
Events?
Yeah. So you would recommend that?
Well, I'd recommend you see a board-certified plastic surgeon to look at your skin tone, to look at if you have good skin elasticity, if you have some excess fatty deposits that are still
What about
present.
This new European thing that Dr. Bruce was talking about?
The injecting thing.
I saw something on it on like 2020. It seemed like it could work, but I'm not sure. Bruce came in here raving about it, although, you know, he's Dr. Spaz, so you never know what to believe. What about, and by the way, what we're talking about is instead of the lipo for like the love handles, series of injections that liquefy the fat or something, gets absorbed, or what is it?
It's injections.
It's from Europe, so it's got to be good.
Yeah.
That's the way. Every skincare product, everything
right,
that has to do with beauty, it's either Norwegian fishermen or it's, you know, from the Champs-Élysées.
I haven't seen a peer-reviewed article in my literature that has mentioned anything about the efficacy of something like this. And it's kind of, I adopt a wait-and-see attitude. You remember years ago there was that skinny dip cream? You were going to, women could rub it on their thighs.
Right,
it
right.
would make them melt away.
Yeah.
It was going to put guys like me out of business.
Right.
Well,
you're
know.
Still here.
Yeah.
Still driving the Porsche.
Still sucking fat.
That's
you
right.
know, so, I mean, if this
no,
stuff
I,
is going to work, great.
Yeah, I you know, well, there's some stuff sounds like, you know, this, you know, the magic pill stuff doesn't work. This involves a multi-series of injections, so, and it's very expensive. So
ultimately, it'll probably cost just as much as traditional liposuction, and who knows?
No, it is. He was saying, you know, for one section, one body part, you had to have, you know, hundreds of injections.
Yeah, and see, it'll just allow more non-surgeons.
Right.
To do cosmetic stuff.
Yeah. Which I hear, by the way, everyone, because of the popularity of cosmetic surgery, everyone's sort of sliding over that direction.
Your OBGYN is sucking fat. Your family
every
practice
Every Yahoo
guy.
With
yeah.
a stethoscope is trying to
well,
jump on this bandwagon.
They're trying to, you know, feather their bottom line because of managed care.
Yeah, because they're not being able to make enough money doing that.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Drew never stops complaining about that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, Drew will look in the eye and tell you he loses money as a doctor. I always tell him to shut up, but he's he gets all sanctimonious and righteous on you. And the 14 years of school, and it cost me $20 to see a patient.
No, he does have a point, though.
I know. Well, then go do something else. Quit complaining. Vince?
Yeah.
We already talked to you. That's right. Marcel, you're supposed to move the sticker around and tell me puffy nipples. Dan, oh, no, that's too gross. I don't want to talk to two guys. I thought it was a chick. I saw the puffy nipples. Stephanie, penis size. Lipo on ankles. That's an interesting one. I never heard that question. Anna?
Yeah?
You want to know if it's possible to do liposuction on ankles?
Yeah.
Have you done that before, Marcel?
I've gone down into the calves, low calves, but actually around the ankles, there's very few people that have much fat there that they're going to benefit.
So some women and guys, for that matter, but women, the sort of cankle thing where it just almost seems like a straight line
right,
from the knee down to the ankle.
That's mostly fat then in the lower calf area, and it just then there's no real break between the calf and the ankle. So
right.
you can refine that area. It's just you have to use real small tubes, and you have to be prepared for a lot of swelling. Their shoes are not going to fit
because of gravity.
Right.
So you would work, I mean, you're saying, Anna, you're saying the ankles, but you're really talking about the area above the ankle.
Just above your ankle bones?
It's right on my ankle and a little bit below. It's like I have swollen feet, but not
well, you might have swollen feet.
For the past 7 years since I've had my daughter.
Ah, well, you know, it might not be fat. It might just be the fact that you just don't have great circulation anymore. You might have you know, some bad venous circulation. You could have some edema down there. It might not be related to any fat at all. You should definitely have someone take a look at you. I mean, when you push your fingers in it, do you leave a little fingerprint?
It's just kind of it's like a bubble almost. Not like a liquid is in there, but it's more squishy.
Yeah, then it might not be fat at all. It might just be that you have some bad circulation.
So if you put your finger into an area and it leaves an imprint,
you have too much. It's probably not fat. It's too
fluid.
Much fluid, right?
Okay, and in the ankles could be because of the circulation, and this is
right.
why people
She's
get
had
varicose
a kid.
Veins
exactly.
and things like
She's
that.
Had a kid, and
all right. So go to the now. Should just go to a general doctor.
Yeah.
Or should she see?
She should. Well, she should. She should at least see her family practice doctor first. See if she has some circulation problems. If they really feel it's fat and it's something you can pinch and it feels like fat, then certainly you could have it refined.
Okay, Dr. Marcel is here. He's a board certified plastic surgeon and a ex roommate of Dr. Drew, who was you guys roomed together for how long at
for
USC?
For a year.
And he's a man of exquisite passion. Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. He is, and you are no slouch in the passion department yourself. So
I don't hold a candle to him.
I know, because here's the whole thing about passion. It's like being athletic. You may be the Larry Bird of passion, where all the extra hours in the gym, refining the free throws, working nights on the layups and the fundamentals, and sure, you end up becoming a high-quality NBA-caliber player, but you don't have the vertical leap of Michael Jordan. And Drew has the vertical passion leap. You can't have a 33-inch vertical leap unless you got the hops. And that's not anything you can teach anybody. You either got that or you don't. And Dr. Drew has that in the passion department.
Absolutely.
He's got a motor going in him like a weed whacker. Whereas I have sort of a steam engine, you know. But he's a... Yeah.
Eight-cylinder.
Yeah, his all cylinders and redlining at 10 grand. His passion. But like I said, you're no slouch in the passion department. And I bet the two of you being, med students, Southern California...
Yeah.
Could have done worse, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Dr. Marcel, plastic surgeon and passionate man. And maybe the only reason for your passion is being in the proximity of Drew's passion for all those years.
I basked in it. Yeah,
I think
in his
some
passion.
Rubbed off on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll take a look. Thank you. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Boston and we'll be back in just a couple of few days. All right. 1-800-LOVE-191. Lit is going to be in here tomorrow night, and then Kathy Griffin is going to be in here the following night. And then later in the week, we have Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn, two funny guys. Who I'm sure you'll recognize when I tell you who they are. All right, so, Jaffa. Is that who we want to talk to? Penis pierced?
Why not?
Jaffa?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah. I recently got my penis pierced, about 2 weeks ago, and I'm just wondering, me and my girlfriend, we had a little, not necessarily sex, but we had, I guess a close enough encounter for me to wonder, is there any health problems I can get?
From her, because your piercing is fresh.
Yeah, I was wondering, sometimes I'll get a little bleeding sometimes. When you get a bloody nose, and it's not heavy, but sometimes you get a little blood going on.
Yeah. All right, so, Bruce, sorry, what? He was in here for 3 days. Marcel.
Killing me.
It took me a while to quit calling Bruce Drew, and then it'll take me a while to stop calling you Bruce, and then when Dr. Alter gets in here, it'll... take me a while for me to stop
calling
Marcel.
Okay.
Yeah. Or jackass. But here's the thing. There's an open... Now, if you have an opening down there, that's an avenue,
wound.
Right?
That's right.
And if you get a penis piercing like this, you got to wait until everything's fully
healed,
right?
It can take 6 weeks for it to be fully epithelialized and not raw. And technically watertight and safe. So.
Does she... but if she doesn't have anything, what can he get?
If it's still raw, he could just get a regular infection. The vagina is full of bacteria.
It is.
It's the devil's playground.
It's a bear trap in there. Yeah. It's like one of those Burmese tiger traps where you think you're just walking over palm fronds, and next thing you know, boom, down into sharp bamboo covered in dung.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Marcel's fallen in that hole many a time.
Yes, but still.
Many a time. Yeah, but still. But this is what you get as a man who roomed with such passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, Java, you should wait until the thing is...
Fully healed
before you go sticking
no
it anywhere. Yeah. And you're going to have to just focus on the handies until then. What can you do to aid the healing? Anything?
Just avoid trauma. Avoid trauma to it.
And, keep a little air circulating?
Actually, the moist healing with a little bit of antibiotic ointment or something will probably help it heal faster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I always thought, you got a cut.
Well, that was a misnomer.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so if you get a cut on your finger and you put a Band-Aid on it...
That keeps it too wet.
When you wake up at night, wake up the next morning, it's still kind of gooey.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It's kind of like the porridge. It's got to be not too dry, not too moist, just right.
Right.
Yeah, so you want it just lightly moistened with maybe a little...
Brown sugar?
Bacitracin.
Oh,
antibiotic ointment.
Still on the porridge.
Just lightly moistened, and that way you maximize wound healing.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to Judy real fast, who's having a plastic surgery on her nose. Judy?
Hi.
You're getting a nose job?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For your 18th birthday?
It's kind of a graduation present, yeah.
Oh, there
wow.
you go.
A lot of that's going around.
Oh, yeah.
America's disgusted by it, by the way, especially the boob jobs. And those jobs, I don't think they care about as much. Yeah, so they're going to get that straightened out. And do you have a question for Marcel?
Yeah, like, how much do you usually do it for? And, like, how often do you do it? And, like, where's your office and stuff? And I'd like to know that type of stuff about you.
Well, everybody has things that they do a lot of, and honestly, of all the things that I do the least amount of noses.
Oh.
I would, in interviewing a plastic surgeon, I would ask he or she, you know, what their area of expertise was, what percentage of their practice was rhinoplasty or nose surgery.
Let me cut you off because we got to take a break. But Judy,
mm-hmm.
just hang on the line, and we'll get back with you.
Okay.
All right, we'll figure this out. Because, yeah, you don't want some guy whose specialty is everything, because that means his specialty is nothing.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, we'll get back. Judy, by the way, number one name for nose jobs.
You think?
Yeah, much less Beths than there are Judys in the nose and the rhinoplasty department. I've done my own research. Dr. Marcel is here, plastic surgeon to the stars, although he's never actually worked on one. But he still calls. His card still says that. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. All right, please turn that down. I'm getting, Jesus Christ, a headache here. Ugh. Dr. Marcel in here, filling in for Dr. Drew, getting some of these plastic surgery questions coming in, which is Dr. Marcel's field of expertise. You know, I just started thinking about the plastic surgery and...
Oh, no, I'm scared.
I know you should, because it's gonna get ugly. But I was thinking, I hate publicists. You know, I don't feel that way about plastic surgeons. But
right.
here's the reason I hate publicists. And these are the people. By the way, for those of you who aren't from the Los Angeles area, publicists are something that gets in between the celebrity and the person that wants them to do their show, and explains to them why they can't do their show. And then blackmails the people into having lesser people they represent come on the show, and holding the big name celebrity out as bait. And they're hateful, awful people. They're like, you think you hated attorneys? This is like, picture gay attorney with a serious sense of entitlement. Now you got publicists. So they're wretched people. And if anybody wants to know how publicists work. Many years ago, I was supposed to do the Craig Kilborn show, and at the very, I was going to be the lead guest, and at the last moment, they said, you're going to have to go on second behind Rebecca Gayhart, who is the, best known as the Noxzema chick who ran over the Mexican kid when she was high, as far as I know, and I don't know if she's in the joint now or wherever she is. You'd recognize her if you saw her. The Kilborn people didn't want her to go on before me. At the time, I was doing a couple of popular TV shows, and I'd been a guest on the Kilborn show numerous times. It worked out well. They wanted me to go on first. Her publicist got involved and said, if Rebecca doesn't go on first, then you can't have Tom Cruise or whoever. And so what it does is it creates a sort of false market, which is the Kilborn people want me to go on first. I almost said Adam Carolla. That would have been, you would have had to just hit me with a coffee mug if I said that. The Kilborn people wanted Adam Carolla to go on first. The audience wanted to see Adam Carolla first. But Rebecca Gayhart had to go on first because the publicist got involved. And then what ends up happening is you need a publicist, not for you, but to do battle with other people's publicists. And this is what happens with attorneys. Eventually, everyone's just got to get an attorney to do battle with other people's attorneys. I don't need a publicist for myself. I need a publicist to do battle with Rebecca Gayhart's publicist. That's what this town has turned into. So, hateful people. Remember, just just think gay attorney when you think publicist, and that's all you need to know. Now, plastic surgery, I've realized, is creating the same sort of thing. It's like steroid use in the Olympics, which is, hey, wait a minute. Those of us who are natural, it's not fair. Everyone's had at least, you know, I mean, it goes, you know, a lot of us didn't have braces growing up. People getting the liposuction, people, you know, I mean, you can work out and all that stuff, but it's not going to do anything for a big nose or a double chin per se. A lot of people out there are getting a lot of work done and putting, and it's the equivalent to the Olympic athlete on the juice. What do you say to that? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I deal with people with self-esteem issues, and certainly a lot of the things that plastic surgeons have to offer people improves their self-esteem, and it can make a difference.
But what about the people who are chronic users of plastic surgery? Do you find that...
Well, no, you do get addicts to it, yeah.
Do people... I would assume that most people don't just have one procedure and leave your office and never to be seen again. I would imagine that... There's a certain group of society that not they don't want to look like Barbie, but I just mean once you're familiar with doing something, you
right.
do more.
Obviously, someone that's willing to go to a surgical solution for changing their appearance is going to be open to other potential surgical procedures down the road. Certainly, if you see someone in their 20s and you do their breasts, for example, and they're happy with the work that you did, you can usually count on them coming back in their 30s or 40s to do their eyelids or do eventually do their facelift.
Have you seen people 15 years from when you did your...
I've been in practice now 14 years. I'm now seeing that second generation of patients that are coming back in that I operated on when I first started out.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of an annuity sort of a situation.
Are you better than you were?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. All right. So you don't want to see... we were talking to Judy.
Yeah, it was Judy.
Yeah, Judy.
Hi, but I really do need, like, the surgery because my nose is really messed up. It's, like, completely unusual. It's, like, I've never seen anybody else with my type of nose. Because, like, the bone, it widens out. It's, like, it doesn't go narrow. It, like goes outward instead. It's very unusual. And I really need it. Like,
I would say, by the way, nose job, especially on a woman, has got to be the number one. I don't mean the number one surgery performed, but the... you know, some of this stuff, it's like, come on, sweetie, you're 18, you don't need this or that. But if you have a very unusual nose as a female...
Certainly, it can make a big difference.
...living in Los Angeles, you get this done.
Now, Judy, the best advice I can give you is, especially if you think you have such an unusually shaped nose, which might make it a more difficult or more of a finesse procedure than a standard rhinoplasty, make sure that the surgeon that you pick has a particular interest in rhinoplasty and possibly can show you some examples of people with similar problems and the results he or she was able to get for that person. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Just because they say that they're a plastic surgeon and, yeah, I can do your nose and give me $10,000, I mean, you know, you are the consumer. You have a right to know what you're buying.
And how much is your general rhinoplasty?
It really depends on the amount of work that's going to get done. The surgeon's fees can run anywhere from $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on up.
Most ones I've seen are like $4,000 to $5,000.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, so just
ask the tough questions, and don't, you know, always get more than one opinion. Everyone that comes to see me, I tell them, don't take my word on it. Get another opinion on the surgery, and when whoever you choose hopefully is the one that makes the most sense to you.
Nah, Marcel, you don't send them to another office, do you?
You know what? I tell them, I go get 2 and 3, 4 opinions because everyone you get after me is going to make me look better.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good reverse psychology. Very good.
Thanks.
Let me ask you this. I don't know why I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, you know, the actress Calista Flockhart?
Yeah.
Ally McBeal?
Yeah.
She looks like she's had a nose job. And then I started to think, there are certain people that look like they've had a nose job when they haven't had a nose job. Maybe she has had a nose job. But there are certain people that have the after nose.
Right. It looks very refined. It looks very sharp, almost angular.
Yes, and it looks like what it looks like after you get a nose job. I always feel sorry for the people who never actually got a nose job.
Everyone assumes that.
Even though, well, you've got the ideal shape, obviously, because everyone's trying to go from point A to U. But then everyone assumes, oh, you're an actress. You did, is it Flockhart Berg or Min? Like, what? Come on, what's going on, sister? Now, could you look at someone like that and go, looks like she...
I mean, sometimes there are visual tip-offs that, you know, tell you, yes, they probably have had it. And other times, you can be fooled.
Yeah. Now, what would you say with her, for instance? Because she does have that
I've
nose.
Never really paid that much attention to her.
Engineer,
she's too skinny
engineer
for me.
Chris, me too. You've beat off to Calista Flockhart millions of times, yes?
Of course.
Way to punch the mic, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, pull her up on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah. And or if you have a wallet size. Are you carrying a picture of her?
No, I forgot that at home.
Okay. It's on the visor of his truck, actually. If you could pull up a picture of her, and we're going to show Marcel and
okay.
tell him what he thinks. It just popped into my head. Yeah, too bony for me.
Yeah, no. Too many edges.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you cut yourself. You got to get a tetanus shot after being with a woman like that. Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially a man who's basked in the passionate glow of Dr. Drew for a full 2 semesters. Go ahead, Jason.
I was saying how I got a piercing on my penis and it's infected.
All right.
Yeah, you have to take the piercing out.
Take it out
and leave it out. Once you take the foreign body out, then your body is able to heal the infection.
What about leaving it in and trying to work around it?
It's tough. It's tough sometimes. Once bacteria get established around a foreign body, it's tough for your body to overcome that.
What if you slept with your penis in a balloon of hydrogen peroxide like I do?
Hydrogen peroxide is one of the worst things you can actually do for a cut.
I don't have a cut. It's just what I do.
If you just like to bathe in the bubbles, it's probably okay.
I'm trying to turn my pubes blonde.
If you have any kind of an open wound, I mean, we get...
Hydrogen peroxide, not good.
It's full-strength hydrogen peroxide actually can slow down wound healing.
Really?
Yeah, if you're going to use it on a cut, dilute it in half with tap water.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right. So it's too strong. Give us some tips. Like, what about Bactine? Is that any good? It's an antiseptic.
It's probably too harsh.
Probably is. I mean, is it just getting back to soap and water for most of the stuff?
It gets back to a kinder, more gentler way of dealing with wounds.
So you shouldn't be wincing when you're spraying stuff on.
Yeah, you don't be dipping it in rubbing alcohol.
Right. Rubbing alcohol, no good. Bactine, maybe a little harsh. Hydrogen peroxide.
Full strength hydrogen peroxide. Soapy water, a little bit of antibacterial ointment, just to keep it lightly
moistened.
Neosporin?
Neosporin
can be good. About 10% of people get sensitive to it. So if anyone is using either Neosporin or Polysporin, any of the creams or lotions there, if you start to notice that instead of getting better, it gets worse, it gets more red, more irritated, you're probably sensitive to it, so stop using it.
Jason's 19. If he put any Neosporin on his junk, I imagine he would go through the tube pretty quickly. Guys cannot put viscous lubricant on their penis, and nothing that has a petroleum base, and for any real period of time before it just turns into masturbation, yes?
Possibly.
Takes all kinds.
It does.
Did you find that picture of Callista?
Yep, I did.
It's got a nice shot of her nose in it.
Right.
Yeah, Marcel, go over there and take a look, and just tell me what your professional opinion is. I'm not obsessed with her. I don't think I've ever brought her up, but every time I look at her, I think, man, that looks like she had some work done, or she was just unlucky enough to be born with a nose that looked like it had work done. Yeah.
It looks like work.
Yeah? Well, there you go. I think my only good part is my nose. I have a nice nose. I don't brag about my parts that much. I don't have that many good ones, but my nose, it's cute, right?
It's very refined.
It's not, but it doesn't look like it's been worked on.
Not at all.
Really?
No.
All right. But I'm sure you mean that in the best way possible. Let's talk to lipo. Yeah, let's take a lipo question. Jake?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering, I've had this gut for like 4 or 5 years now, and I tried, dieting and, sit-ups and everything, and it just doesn't want to go away, and I want to know about the option of liposuction, if that's...
Well, liposuction works really well for people, especially if they're close to their ideal height and weight, plus minus a few pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But it works great on areas that are what we call diet resistant, and certainly love handles and stomach in men, thighs and hip rolls in women. Those are very diet resistant. Some people would have to almost get sickly skinny, Calista Flockhart skinny, in
yes.
order to lose these troublesome areas.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, liposuction's a great way to get from point A to point B.
Have they refined that at all? I mean, it seems like I heard some nightmare stories about it, after it really gained momentum 10 years ago or something like that. Is there
what's basically changed over the last, in my career is we're using smaller and smaller tubes to suck the fat out of. So you're getting a more regular result. You're not getting as much waviness or rippling to the skin or divoting.
Right.
Something called tumescent technique, which is pretty much what everyone is doing. You're pumping in some saline with adrenaline in it, which is cutting down on blood loss. So it's not a particularly bloody procedure anymore.
So they've refined it over the years.
It's definitely much more refined than it was 10 years
ago. And what does it cost, basically, for a set of love handles or an area like a punch?
A lot of surgeons charge, they'll charge by the area, or they'll figure out how long it's going to take them to do it. It can be anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 per area.
Would the love handles be two areas?
No, one.
One.
Yeah, so, that'll probably be a surgeon's fee. Run you anywhere from $1,500 on up.
So a guy like Jake could be looking for. Now, he's calling from Bakersfield. And let me tell you something. $1,500 in Bakersfield currency, that's like 25 grand.
Yeah.
It's like Mexico. It's what the peso is to the dollar.
All right, easy.
Because minimum wage in Bakersfield is 76 cents. They don't pay at all. What do you do over there,
Jake? Well, you
could
exchange it for, livestock or something. Maybe.
Jake, yeah, what do you do in Bakersfield?
I work for the railroad.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And what do you do?
I'm an engineer.
Oh, really? You actually drive the train?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And one of those diesel electric ones?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yes? Yeah?
Say again?
Is it a diesel electric one?
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people don't know that the diesel trains just power a generator, that the train's electric. The diesel locomotive doesn't have a diesel engine to drive the train. It has a diesel engine to power the generator to power the train.
I had no idea.
See?
I'm learning. Yeah. I got to come by more often.
Yeah. Let me just check that with Jake. Jake, is that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. You got to have a lot of personality to drive one of those trains. It's a lonely job. The guy's just sitting out there hoping that drunks don't fall asleep on the tracks.
And the cows wander across the tracks.
You know, it always seemed like a ridiculous device to me is I used to see it in the old movies where they'd be on a train, fight would break out, some guy would grab that cord and yank on it.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, brakes lock up, sparks coming from the, train's going 75 miles an hour. All of a sudden, it's just metal on metal. They lock it up, sparks flying out, everyone flying forward, everyone in the dining car, the food flying everywhere. I thought, who's the guy decided that any drunk guy in steerage could just go ahead and yank that chain after a blowout with the old lady?
Just for
and it would just lock up the train. Is there any other form of transportation where I have access to the controls, like when I'm flying an airplane? I'm gonna go hard left on the ailerons, just from my seat.
Yeah.
Let's bank it.
I want to
knock some drinks off some tray tables here. Yeah, and I used to see the things, and I thought. I remember being 9 and thinking, boy, that's a horrible idea. Who decided there should be an emergency brake that the passengers should operate? And then I thought, maybe they made that up. Maybe it doesn't exist. And I thought, no, it's in every train movie.
Yeah, it is.
I think they've worked it out by now, though, right? They can't have that.
I doubt it now.
Yeah, let's look into that. I got a little frog in my throat because
well, you're sweating
I had this
procedure. In your throat now. That's what it is.
That's not sweat.
Oh, okay.
That's from earlier. I didn't tell you about my alternative lifestyle. It completely changed
it
my
proclivity. It takes all kinds.
I got put under. I had some surgery yesterday, and they intubate you or something. They put that tube down your throat.
Right.
And I think it's caused a little irritation. But don't worry, kids. I've landed on my feet, and I'm fine. Let's talk to Frank. I can get rid of the stretch marks. Yeah, that's one that everyone wants to know about. Is it the same with men and women and the stretch marks, by the way?
Actually, yeah, a lot of guys have stretch marks, but certainly women get them more because pregnancy.
But do they get rid of them the same way?
I'll tell you, if I had a dollar for every patient that came in and was hoping that there was a solution to stretch marks. There isn't. I mean, people I've spent thousands of dollars on laser surgery for stretch marks, and I can tell you the improvement is at best, and I really mean this, subtle.
Right.
If you're looking at wiping the slate clean and getting the skin all smooth, I think you're going to be very let down by any currently available laser treatments.
Yeah,
I
mean, forget about the creams and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a, if
they got to cut them out or something, right?
Well, if you can get rid of the skin, if it's a woman that has a bit of a pooch after having had kids and you can get rid of that skin, sure. But if the stretch marks, I will say, if they are red, like some people get those angry red ones, those can be improved a lot with a laser. But if they're white stretch marks and it's just the little irregularity in the skin, save your money.
Hey, Frank?
Yeah.
Are yours red or white?
Yeah, for pretty much the ones on my stomach are pretty much red.
Oh, they're red.
I've gained some weight across, like, for the last year. I've always been a pretty kind of big guy. Mm-hmm. But the ones from, like, when I worked out a lot, like around my arms are kind of, you know, they've already changed color, but those aren't so bad.
Yeah, right. If you have red ones, then they'll respond to laser treatment. But if they're white, save your money.
All right, so consult a plastic surgeon on the red ones, but if he tells you you can get rid of the white ones, he's lying.
I would say that they're entrepreneurial.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this a lot on this show over the years, and nobody credible has ever really said there's anything they can do about it. Although, on the other hand, and I know women are more freaked out about the stretch marks than the guys are, not necessarily a deal breaker.
But when it looks like a Sharpay.
Well, I mean, when the skin is sagging, you know, that's one thing.
It's really wrinkly.
I'm still effing her.
Are you?
That's me.
Okay.
But it takes all kinds. No, I mean, sometimes, again, I had the tube in my throat. You see it on women. You see it around the love handle area, around the hip sometimes. And I'm not talking about when your mom's friends who spat out quadruplets 28 years ago. I'm talking about the hottie you see at the beach who's tan, and you can see the slightly lighter stretch marks.
Yeah, no, not a deal breaker.
Even around the breasts and stuff. It's kind of, to me, it kind of suggests there's some form there. Like, I see a stretch mark under the arm a little. I'm thinking, okay, we got some boobage to deal with here. So, it's a good omen. You see what I'm saying?
No, I follow.
I'm not freaked out by it. Yeah, if it gets once you get a certain age, just throw in the towel, everybody.
Just kill yourself.
Well, it doesn't have to kill yourself, but leave yourself alone. You become like an old house that you don't need to put another coat of paint on. Just leave it alone. Let the termites get you.
I'm glad more people don't feel that way.
Yeah, I know. And what's the average age? And I'm guessing it's heading down. I mean, when you started your plastic surgery practice 14 years ago, you said?
Yeah.
14 years ago, average age of the person that walked through the front door.
Your practice tends to age with you, tell you the truth. The longer you're in business, the older your clients get because they're the ones that are coming back.
I would have thought it had been the opposite.
No,
I would have thought 20 years ago the average age was 48 and now it's 39 or whatever.
No, I still think you see people get plastic surgery at all stages of their lives. It's just, it's becoming more popular. And there is a trend towards getting it younger. And I'm seeing kids in their teen years. And I tend to try and discourage them from getting much done very early on because I just don't think they're mature enough to make those kind of decisions.
But what about like that 18-year-old young lady who called who said her nose was, you know,
well,
basically deformed.
Yeah, if it's a legitimate thing, sure.
Yeah, I mean, why go through your college
years with all the
horrible
nicknames? It's like young kids with prominent ears, you know.
Oh, really? You do ear stuff?
Yeah, we try and operate on them young, you know, 8 years old, 7 years old.
Really?
Because other kids are they're so cruel to them.
Oh, kids, so cruel. How do you take that ear down?
You have to make an incision behind the ear. You've got to get down to the cartilage. You got to reshape the cartilage.
What percentage of people have the lobe attached as opposed to the hanging lobe?
Good question. I have no idea.
What do you got?
I have hangers.
You got the hangers?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Come on, buddy. Don't be uptight. Yeah, but it's not much. It only goes up a few millimeters.
I don't have Buddha ear lobes.
Chris, what do you got? Go more my way. There you go. Oh, my grandmother has those from using the clamp-ons. That's a disaster. Oh, you got to do something about that. That's the problem with the chicks right there. I was wondering what it was.
How can you live with yourself?
Yeah, you got to do something
with those. As deformed as you are.
Yeah. You're like a elephant man or Quasimodo or something. No, you got, let me see that again, because you got some flaps there. Now shake it around a little bit. Put your hand over there. Come on, buddy. It's not gay. Well, maybe it is now that I yelled it wasn't gay. But before I screamed it wasn't gay. Come on, let me see how much you got before.
Oh, don't get him how to flick him for you.
Come
here.
On. All right, just now lift it a little bit. Yeah, now turn my way. No, my way. All right.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah. I don't know. That could be the problem. It's either that or the $10 an hour. It's something. He's living at home. He's 27 years of age.
Oof.
Yeah. Come on, buddy. You got to get out. We can get you out of the house. You want to go to break? It's going to get worse during the break. It's going to be the same stuff except for I use the F word. All right. Dr. Marcel is in studio tonight. Plastic surgeon of the stars. Have you worked on any stars?
I couldn't tell you if I did.
All right. That's a big fat no. So, we're going to take ourselves a big break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel is filling in for Dr. Drew, who's... chasing his castles made of ice in Austin.
Packing the car in Harvard Yard.
One of his... where did you go? Where did you do your undergrad stuff?
That's where I trained in plastics was Boston.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
University of Boston?
Boston University? Lehigh Clinic.
So that's... you were at USC with Drew.
For medical school.
So Drew was at Amherst, and you were where?
I was at UC Irvine.
You were at UC Irvine. Then you both ended up in USC. And then then you went to do plastic surgery.
Well, no, I started, most plastic surgeons do general surgery first. I did general surgery at the University of Arizona, and then I went back to Boston for 2 years of plastic surgery training.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you do in general surgery?
Gallbladders, appendix,
really?
Trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do any hernia work?
Yeah.
I got one of those coming, too.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah. I know. And Drew.
And that's near your junk.
Drew. Look, I will gladly give up the underpants for that.
Oh,
it was just,
I hope.
I said, the hand surgery, the chest stuff. I got to give up the underpants for the hand surgery and the hand. Not down at your side.
Out,
spread out. Like, just like the man on the cross.
Yeah.
Just like him. Nope, gonna need that.
You'll be giving up the underwear big time for the hernia surgery.
Yeah, they may be busting out the Lady Bic.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
Here's my only problem is Drew had the hernia surgery done about a year ago, and, you know, he's kind of a puss. He's coming in here complaining for the next 2 weeks easily, like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, he was really, you know, he's, Drew, as well as being a passionate man, he has a high capacity for drama as well. He's a little drama queen to him. There's a little drama to him.
You know, he used to sing opera.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So it's this
drama.
He was in here and he's like, my balls hurt, they'll never heal. And then Chris would jump in the background, heal the balls. And the big horns on the helmet, the Viking helmet. But yeah, he never stopped complaining for weeks, and then also people don't know about Drew, he's a worrywart.
Oh yeah.
And Drew will say to me like once a week, he'll go, looks like we're gonna have to give up the house. And I'll go, what are you talking about? Well, you know, I mean, the mortgage, this, I got to send the kids. Each time the kids' estimate for college gets more and more, it's now up to like $30 million a child. Well, I got three kids, $30 million. It's almost nine. Well, you figure in books, it's $100 million for the kids to get a decent 4-year education. Then you got the ice skating. We're going to have to give up the house. And I'm always like, oh, just shut up and go to work, would you? You never have to give up anything. You do fine. You're doing fine. Just stop worrying about it all the time. We may have to move. And then talk to him 2 weeks later. I'm like, how's the house going, huh?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to have to move.
That sounds like what? Him.
Yeah, it's like, just relax over there, buddy. God, he's high strung. All right. And listen, as I've told Drew many times, you could spend, $400,000 a kid in school, or you could spend nothing. And you turn out like the Ace Man. Literally a millionaire. Literally. That's right.
Amen,
and
brother.
I swear, I'm putting my hand to Christ here. If my dad spent more than $500 on me or my sister after the age of 13 combined, I don't think he got to $500. I really don't.
You're the exception to the rule.
Maybe. No one I know, by the way, and it's true, most of my friends are losers, but none of their parents, they never put any money aside for anything. Like, there was no, well, you know, here's a rainy day, or here's for the college, or here's for the braces, or here if the kid takes a spill in a moped. These kids didn't even have, like, doctors and stuff. There was nothing, and they all just, yeah, they got out of high school, they went to work, and they're all doing fine now. You'll be all right. I just keep telling them, they'll be fine. They'll land on their feet. They don't need you. John?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I have an eyelid that hangs down lower than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too much, but it becomes a lot more pronounced, like when I'm drunk or when I'm tired or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Has this been since you were young?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've always had it.
Yeah. You probably have something called congenital ptosis.
Mm-hmm.
You probably should have, I mean, most plastic surgeons won't do enough of this sort of surgery, so you may want to consult what we would call an oculoplastics doctor, and that's someone who's usually, it's an ophthalmologist who's taken a special interest in this, in the plastic surgery aspect of it, and have him, there'll be some tests that they'll have to do, and they could raise the one eyelid just a little to help it match the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is it like a real intensive kind of surgery, or?
Well, it's a surgery.
They have to take the eyeball out.
Yeah.
and make a keychain out of it.
It's a surgery, but it's a surgery that has a pretty good success rate.
Right. I mean, yeah, is it something that's going to be really expensive, or?
It might be covered by insurance if you have a visual field obstruction.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's really not. I mean, it doesn't really affect that much. It's just like, I don't know.
Don't say that to the insurance guy, though.
Right.
Tell him you can barely drive.
Okay.
All right, Mark. Come on. John, you got to learn how to play the game.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, like that excessive sweating.
Yeah. It's got a free surgery.
Gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice, right? Look at me, too. Dry as a biscuit. Feel that forehead. It's chalky.
It's like
feeling.
The desert.
It's chalky feeling. I'm like a powdered donut.
Only
on my forehead.
Day out.
Yeah, it's like I got kabuki makeup on. Look at that. But the ass crack. That is a
swamp.
Oh, it's a mire down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not pretty.
No, not pretty. There's like a water moccasin coming out of my ass right now, John.
Yeah.
Oh, we're done talking to you. That's right?
Yes,
we are.
All right. You got to move here. Who are we talking to next? Listen, Marcel, the sticker thing, it's too sporadic for me. He's got a concave chest, has a one nut. A lot of guys calling in.
A lot
puffy
of
nipples.
A lot of junk calls.
Travis, penis is too sensitive. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's talk to someone who's been on hold for 104 minutes, and let's just go in order of longest to least.
Sounds
on hold.
Sounds good.
Travis.
Hey.
21.
Yep.
Sensitive penis.
Yeah, I'm a premature ejaculator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, here's what I'm starting to figure out from doing the show and traveling around through the world and through this country. And now with Marcel talking about plastic surgery tonight, I'm really just starting to think that people got a hand dealt to them, whether they got stretch marks or love handles, where they have a big nose, whether they're premature ejaculators, or whether they go all night without having ejaculation. There's just a certain hand you get dealt. And we, as a society, we love to think there's something you can do about it through reading a book or listening to some cassettes or, seeing some infomercial hosted by Suzanne Summers. The reality is there's probably not that much Travis can do about this because that's just him. There's always, like, the bottom 10%, then there's the upper 10%.
The bell-shaped curve.
Yeah, then there's some everyone in the middle. Travis can do things like, you have a steady girlfriend, Travis?
Yeah.
You do? You've been going out there for how long?
Probably a year and a half.
And this happens every time?
Well, you know, sometimes I get lucky.
Yeah.
Try her pleasure condom, give that a shot, you know. Works all right.
How
sometimes
about
I, I get a good jack before, and then then we go at it, and you know, it goes a little longer.
Yeah, you take a bullet out of the chamber before you
pack
your piece. How about you give her some good oral sex? Because I've learned over the years that the meter's running once you get down there. I mean, the sexual meter. Even if you come up top and it only lasts 2 minutes, if you were down there for 18, that's a 20-minute session.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Marcel is not actually ever done any plastic surgery on himself except for the forked tongue. For obvious reasons. Do you ever have anybody wanting you to do bizarre things, things you won't do?
Not too often. I try and discourage the crazies.
But there are people that want to look like a lizard or something.
Well, I mean, I've gotten over the internet people that have contacted me about doing body modification.
Putting like beads on their penis and stuff like that.
Beads on, you know, hydroxyapatite beads on their foreheads.
What are hydroxyapatite?
It's like coral. It's like sterile coral.
It's inert. Yeah, it's inert. Is it man-made?
Yeah.
So it's like a synthetic coral, and they come in size of peas, going?
You can stretch the skin out to like, it's like little horns underneath the skin.
And you can actually just put those in and be like a retarded devil.
Yeah, pretty
fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. That's great. And it's great because your first day out of surgery, you probably run into like a drunken group of born-agains coming back from some revival, just get your ass kicked, like stabbed with a sprinkler key. All right, so Travis is doing whatever Travis can do about his premature problem. This is something you're probably going to grow out of, hopefully, but not
21,
necessarily. He's 21. And like I said, oral sex, it's really the best way to keep your lady satisfied. Mark?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
All right, hold on a second, Mark. We're going most to least, sorry. I'm going to talk to Dan, who's now been on hold for 76 minutes. Dan?
Yo.
You got the puffy nipples?
I do.
That's the gynecomastia.
That's what that
most
is.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, now, that'll kick in around puberty sometimes
it
where
usually
you get the lump
does.
Under the nipple, but it should go away.
Really?
It goes away in a majority of cases, but not always.
It's been there about, well, I'm 24 now. It's been there a long time.
Right.
And so it's at a point where it's not going to go away on its own, and it should be evaluated if you've got a little firm, rubbery disc of breast tissue underneath your nipple or your areola. It's going to have to be dealt with surgically.
Oh, well, that's
yeah. It's not going to diet and whatever aren't going to do it. And there's no
I'm a pretty fit guy. Otherwise, you know.
You have a little bit of excess breast development.
Yeah, you should consult a plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn!
All right.
What's so bad about that?
Yeah, they're good guys. If you don't mind the pinky rings.
It's kind of embarrassing, you know, the whole issue.
Well, sure. No, I mean, I've had young men who they won't go to the locker room. They'll wear two or three shirts and de-emphasize
it. Dan, are you embarrassed going to the plastic surgeon or are you embarrassed in the locker room?
Both.
All right. Here's the whole thing. The locker room, you're going to get some 19-year-old meathead who's going to make fun of you. The plastic surgeon's a guy who sees this every day.
Right.
That's true.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
No, he hopes God creates thousands of mutants like you so he can keep driving that Porsche.
There you go.
That's true.
What this bumper sticker says. Yeah, I mean, and this is the kind of thing for a guy you just got to take care of sooner than later.
Oh,
who
yeah.
the hell wants that? The summer's coming up, the beach, the pool parties, the whole thing. Even the guys are just wearing the T-shirts and look like, 13-year-old girls that need a training bra.
Exactly.
And other guys... at least the guys I grew up with would not have a whole lot of sympathy for the man boobs.
They're
not at all.
Tough on them.
They would be. First thing you'd probably get is felt up, and second the verbal ridicule. But first, probably a good like half a raping, and then torso rape I call it,
gotcha.
and then the verbal abuse. All right, Dr. Marcel in studio tonight, plastic surgeon filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's a love line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel is in here tonight, filling in for Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191. Talking about plastic surgery, thank you. And the aptly but unfortunately named Dr. Alter will be in tomorrow night. Some people remember him from a few months back when he was a guest on the show talking about genital reassignment surgery. And by the way, these euphemisms such as donating an egg, when a woman donates an egg, $4,000 or $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really donating, it's selling. Someone's going to pay you. Let's put it this way. You're calling it donating an egg. Would you do it for free? Absolutely not. Here's $6,500. Give me the egg, Missy. All right. So this kind of donating an egg is so people don't feel bad about selling parts. And genital reassignment is another one of these
kind and gentle
sort of euphemistic things. Yeah. Penises over by the trees. Vaginas down behind the rocks. Spread like... yeah, we're going to need, okay, so you do want your penis, or you don't, fantastic, because someone else needs it, so let's go ahead and move that over here, like he's got some long flashlights, like a guy's bringing in an airplane, or a movie usher would be using. Let's get the genitalia over here. Yeah, soon hop up on that vagina, there we go, fantastic. No, it's lopping off dongs and taking crazy people, and essentially screwing them up even more. And if you've ever seen pictures, and I'm sure you've have,
I
you have.
Have
about taking muscle out of the forearm and skin out of the forearm to essentially
take a
create
piece of bone,
create a,
out of the forearm,
create a crank. And here's the thing: if they could get the penis to look like half of what my half of penis looked like, which would just be a quarter, it would be a breakthrough. But this thing is a disaster.
Yeah, it's still.
Yeah, I think people think of it as, you know, unscrewing a penis and screwing it onto a woman. It's a disaster.
It's kind of a replica.
Yeah. A replica in a pretty crappy way. Like if it was a replica, it was like a wax replica. Like there's a Madame Tussauds of penis. This would be one that got left in a hot van over August and just sort of wilted.
I mean, certainly the reassignment to a woman works out a lot better. They can actually look pretty realistic.
Yeah. Anything you want to tell us?
No.
You've been burned a few times?
Takes all kinds.
All right. Let's talk to... wait, who the hell? Did I have what's his name on hold, or we get to him?
We got to him.
All right. Who's been on hold the longest? No, I think someone just hung up on him. Hey, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good. You have a concave chest?
Yeah. It's pretty sunk in. I've heard it called a funnel chest, too.
Right. Well, is it a funnel chest, or do you have like a what's called pectus excavatum?
Oh, just right on my breastplate. It's like a spoon, you know, concave in the breastplate. Actually,
right.
That's like when the guy's shoulders stick out further than the sternum does, right, or the breastplate.
No, it actually can sink in.
Does it actually become concave?
Yeah.
Where the what
and the
direction
ribs are
also, the ribs?
Ribs,
the ribs
are also
have to
curved
turn
inward
in?
Too.
But not all the way around.
No.
They
just,
turn
just
in.
Just in the midline.
Right.
Is that how yours are?
Right. My shoulders are not further than my chest. I have a fairly developed chest, and I work out and stuff, but it's just right in the middle on the breastplate, like almost directly over the heart. It spoons in.
I can't imagine what you can do about that.
Well, depending
are
upon the...
Are you able to reconstruct bone? That's my question.
Well, depending upon the extent of the defect, sometimes camouflage is what's in order. And so what they'll do is they make a custom silicone implant.
They puff out the skin
They puff out the skin.
Just put it right on top of the chest plate.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then you can have people punch you like Houdini did.
You could. And in other cases, if it's more extreme, sometimes you need a rather extreme surgery, which involves removing the breastbone and modifying it and actually turning it upside down. And you should be seen by a plastic surgeon
now,
to be evaluated.
You're calling from Mississippi, so you're probably going to see like a taxidermist or something, right? Is that as close?
No,
as they
get? They're good plastic surgeons in
really?
All the states. Yeah,
but they do some taxidermy as well as like rhinoplasty,
possibly
breast reduction.
But you know, correcting a concave chest is not the most common plastic surgery. So once again, you know, make sure that the surgeon has a degree of expertise in the area. You might want to go to the University of Mississippi, which will have a teaching institution.
Yeah, I think you have to get in the car for this one. But here's the thing. I like, you know, the idea of doing anything with the physical bone seems like quite an undertaking. But
right.
The idea of putting the little silicone, you know, hot dog under there and kicking the thing out
right.
seems like a relatively easy fix.
It can be, yes.
All right. Well, there's some actual information coming from this show, everybody. What time is it? Mark this. Just mark it. Let's see. Mark, let's see. 24 minutes we'll take two. Oops. That was a bad thing. Billy.
Sir Adam Carolla.
You're 28.
Yes.
Yes, you have pointed ears like Spock. You
right.
want to know if they can be fixed.
Right.
All right, we have about 30 seconds. Marcel was telling me he does lots of ears. And
you can if it's a cartilage problem where it's a little too prominent up there, that can be contoured down.
Yeah, I would imagine that's one of the easier fixes.
Yeah, that would not be all that complicated.
All right, so Billy should just speak to a board-certified plastic surgeon and see what they can do.
Right, simple.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Where did the time go? Always flies when Dr. Marcel is in studio. God bless you, Dr. Marcel.
Always a lot of fun. Always is.
Always good. Just as good off there as you are on. All right. So we will be in with Dr. Alter tomorrow night, talk a little genital reassignment. Perhaps he can do something with Chris's ears, like put like a scrotum sack on each one. That'd be a nice look, wouldn't it? Yeah. All right. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Marcel saying mahalo.
My balls hurt. They'll never heal.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.